Meditate upon the greatest gift that this world has ever received was the sending of your Son for the payment for our sins. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we honor you. And may we honor you every day. And Lord, and be in remembrance of what you've done for us. And Lord, anything that we do for you pales in comparison. But Father, we lift up our pastor to you right now. And we pray your anointing upon him. We pray, Father, that the Spirit of God would move mightily. Lord, this message that you've birthed in his heart, may he bring it forth, Lord, under the direction, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit himself. And Father, may we receive it and walk it out. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Did you ever stop to think about all the money that is spent just on advertising every Christmas? It starts on Black Friday and continues, you know, before Black Friday, and it continues for a whole month. There's all these commercials on TV, commercials on the radio. There's the circulars that come out that make the newspaper so heavy sometimes because there's 100 circulars in there. They come in the mail, and all this stuff is designed to lure you into the store or to get you onto the website or, you know, somehow or other to get you to spend your money to buy that perfect gift for that someone special in your life. And then you think about all the time that we spend running around and looking for and buying gifts. And some people love it. They love all the shopping and they love going out there and, you know, finding all the best deals and really, you know, coming out ahead and getting the best bargain. And then there's other people who really don't care to go out all that much, and they see it as sort of a headache running around and fighting the crowds and fighting the traffic and getting stuck up on the hill and, you know, standing in line and, you know, getting cold and going into debt. And, you know, there's some negatives with all that shopping. But still, most of us end up, you know, going through the pretty much the same thing every Christmas. You know, and it all has to do with our attitude. How do we look at this time? Do we look at it with the glass half full or the glass half empty? I mean, because we can all enjoy Christmas however much we want it. It really depends on our attitude. Do we see it as something fun or do we see it as a chore? Do we see it as something where we can bless people or do we see it as something where, wow, now we got to spend all this money? Or do we, you know, how do we see it? Usually, most of us will end up trying to find gifts, you know, going out and shopping and finding gifts for those we care about, you know, and we end up, you know, running around looking for that perfect gift and something that people will appreciate, something that they can use, something that they need, something that will be a blessing to them. It's always nice to give or to receive a gift that hits home, you know, that really is a blessing. I think every one of us secretly still hopes, you know, every Christmas, I think we all sort of still hope to get that gift that we're going to go, wow, how did you know, this is what I really want. I've been wanting this forever, you know, and I've just never had it, you know, and somehow it's something in us. It's like when we were kids, you know, and we wake up on Christmas morning and there it was, the thing that we were waiting for. We thought it was the end of the, you know, the biggest thing, the end of the ages. I mean, this finally came to us, you know, and we all love getting that perfect gift. Well, there is a perfect gift, and this gift was bought and paid for over 2,000 years ago. And it is the true gift that keeps on giving. God didn't go out into Toys R Us or Gods R Us and look for this perfect gift. He wasn't looking all over trying to figure out what would be the best gift for you and for me and for him and for her and for each one of us. And here's the cool thing. God is God, the Creator. And when he created us, he made each one of us unique. We all have different giftings, different talents, different abilities, different personalities. We live in a different place. We've been born at different times. We have everything about us is different. But God has left a spot, an opening in each one of us that was designed by Him, by our Creator, to be available, to always be open to receive this most amazing, most wonderful, most perfect gift in the world. And that perfect gift is none other than His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Let's go back to that first Christmas and see exactly what our Heavenly Father has done for us. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." I would be too. If I was out alone, you know, out on a hillside, out in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden this bright light comes out of nowhere and some being, some angelic being, some spiritual being just pops up out of nowhere and starts singing, starts speaking to me, I think I'd be scared. But the angel said to them, of course, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." God did something special here, something that doesn't normally happen when a baby is born. Because God was intimately involved in the birth of this child, He had a major role to play in the way the whole thing played out. What we find out here is that this baby was not born to just Joseph and Mary. Notice what the angels told the shepherds. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." All the people. Then the angel goes on to say, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the King." A Savior has been born to you. He's saying that to the shepherds. A child's been born to you. Well, I thought he was born to Joseph and Mary. No, he was born to them. Sammy and Candace just had a baby. I saw the baby up here. Laura was holding her. And I was thinking, how would they feel if some shepherds or some ranchers or maybe some guys from the line were, you know, on Chrysler or maybe Ford or GM, or, you know, the Chrysler's where Sammy works. What if some of those guys came up and say, "Hey, how's our baby? The baby that was born to me and my family. Maybe that baby right there. That's my baby." "Oh, no, that's your baby. That's your baby." I mean, how would we feel? Wouldn't that seem weird? But that's basically what happened here. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Jesus wasn't just born to Joseph and Mary. He was a gift from God, born to all people for all time. And this is the true meaning of Christmas, the true message of Christmas, and that is that God has given to you and to me and to everyone else, He's given us all this greatest, most wonderful, most perfect gift in Jesus. And that child, that gift, was born to Joseph and Mary way back 2,000 years ago, but that gift was born for me. That gift was born for you. That child was born for you. You got just as much right for that child as Joseph and Mary did. Thankfully. Amen. That was a gift from God. His one and only Son. A gift from God to the world. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." What a gift. When did you ever get a gift from someone else that was so awesome, so amazing, so just out of this world that it was impossible to describe? Something beyond words, beyond comprehension. Something that just, not only was it impossible to describe, but something that just keeps getting better and better and better as we draw closer, which we've been talking about all year, as we draw closer and get to know this gift more, instead of us getting tired of it, instead of it being thrown over in the corner after a week or two, what happens is we get to know this gift more and more, and the more we see, the more we fall in love with. What a gift. What a gift. What an indescribable gift. That's Jesus. I'm so glad that God isn't like me. Because you wouldn't believe how many times I've gone out on Christmas Eve looking for a gift. For an important gift. You know how hard it is to find a gift on Christmas Eve? I usually somehow manage it, but man, that's not the way God is. God didn't put this gift together on Christmas Eve. He didn't come up with this plan at the last minute like a lot of us do for a lot of things. The truth is, God planned to give us His gift before we were born. Not just before the gift was here, but before we were born, before they were born, God had already planned on giving this gift. He planned it before the heavens and the earth were created. He had already planned on giving you this gift. You in particular, you here that have received the gift. Talk about pre-planning. God made all kinds of preparations to make sure that this perfect gift, this indescribable gift, would be able to be received by us, by all of mankind. First thing He did is, well, He did a lot. I shouldn't say the first thing, but one thing He did is He prepared the heart of Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, starting in 26, it says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" Now that's going to sort of be a scary introduction. Mary was greatly troubled at those words. She knew enough to know, uh-oh, something's coming up here. When an angel of God, Gabriel, comes up to you and says, "Hey, greetings, the Lord is with you." "Oh, thank you. What do you got for me? What's going to happen next?" Mary was greatly troubled at His words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, guess what? "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Your son, this child that's going to be born to you, and I won't tell you right now, but he's going to be born to everybody. She probably already, maybe she's already thinking that. Maybe she's already understanding that. But she asks, how can this be? How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, wonderful, mighty Counselor. That's going to be his name, your son. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. So Mary, after hearing all this, and you know, this had to be like coming at her like a Mack truck coming right down on her. I mean, imagine having all this told to you. Most people think she was probably 15, 16 years old. 14 maybe, who knows? She was a young girl. And she gets told all this stuff by an angel. And instead of running away, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. It reminds me of Jesus. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Same thing. Same type of obedience. Same type of willing obedience. God, you're God. Whatever you say. Then the angel left her. What a wonderful young lady. A wonderful young girl. Innocent, willing, and wanting to please God. To just be obedient to God. I am your servant. I'll do whatever you ask. Accepting the call on her life. And a heavy calling it would be. How many of us would want to know that we're going to be raising a child that would be murdered at 33? Her whole world was going to change. This young girl. Everything was going to change for her and for us because of what went on right then. Her family, her heart, her innocence, her obedience, everything that made her who she was, her upbringing, the things she did, the things she read, the people she played with, everything about her, all that had gone on was all part of God's preparation for her, but for the gift that was to come, because she would be the carrier of that gift. God also prepared the heart of Joseph. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. We just read about that. But before they came together, that's code words, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He didn't know what was going on here. But he was an honorable, decent, godly man. After he considered this, in other words, he was thinking about quietly divorcing her, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not divorce her. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. See, it looked to all the world like she'd gone out on him, because he knew he was okay. But an angel came and told him what happened. She is conceived. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This is something God has done. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. How many men would have willingly accepted this situation? Think about this. The Holy Spirit did this? Mary, come on. That'd be a hard thing. Even believing it, it would be a hard thing. You have a child from God? And I'm supposed to be the stand-in father now? I'm like, what, the stepdad? What would you call me? Am I going to have to pay child support if I leave? I mean, think about he's got to be thinking these thoughts like, where do I come in? What's my role? This really isn't my child. It came from me. But he was an honorable man, so he raised him as his own. I think a lot of men would have walked away right at the beginning there, and many more would have probably walked away at some later point. But what we see is, once again, God's planning. You see, God prepared Joseph. He prepared the heart of this man, not just when the angel came and told him. He could have heard that and ran out the door as fast as he could have, but God had already prepared his character through his parents, through his upbringing, through all the situations he went through, so that when he got to that point, he said, "May it be done as you've said. Not my will, but yours. I'll do this. I'll stand up and be the man." Took a lot to handle that task. God even prepared a witness, someone to testify that this gift was conceived through a miracle of God, and that he would be, and this witness would then be called to go out and preach, and not only tell about the gift, but then prepare the hearts of the people to be able to receive this gift of Jesus. Luke, again, 1:5-17. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of the Lord, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Now, how often do you hear that? I think these were some people that God had prepared. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well along in years. They were old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, what did he say? Do not be afraid. You know, those angels don't even have to carry their cue cards anymore. It's like the standard greeting. You know, I mean, would you imagine if every time you walked up to somebody, the first thing you had to say was, do not be afraid. Hey, do not be afraid. I just want to say hi, you know. This just tells you how awesome, how amazing these angels looked. They were all terrified, startled, fear, you know, fearsome. They were feared. These angels came and they spoke something to them. Power, majesty, I mean, big, shining, coming in out of nowhere. I mean, this was something that really just came right at them. So they had to be told, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. You see, they had a job. God was telling them how to prepare their son. All this has to do with all this preparation. Many of the people of Israel will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, God doesn't do things on a whim. Look at all the trouble he went through to prepare, to get this ready. We're talking about John the Baptist here. Someone who was sent to proclaim the coming of the perfect gift from God. Imagine if you were planning on getting somebody a gift and you decided, well, I'm going to send a messenger on ahead of them. I'm going to hire some messenger so that he can go and say, you know, maybe it's a singing telegram or some kind of messenger, you know, and they come to your house and they tell you, you know, they knock on your door, and you know, oh, who are you? You know, I'm here to announce you will be receiving a gift. Betty Lindelbauer will be sending you a gift next Wednesday. Wednesday evening, ready for Thursday morning. What if she did that? What if I did that? What if you did that? I mean, I think it would cause a little stir, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you be wondering then? Like, wow, I wonder what I'm going to get. So God sends somebody to be a voice in the wilderness, to be out there proclaiming the good news, preparing people's hearts to be ready to receive a Savior. I bet a lot of people were really excited hearing that a Savior was coming. All the way back in 700 BC, the prophet Micah prophesied that the birthplace of Jesus would be the town of Bethlehem. Now, Mary and Joseph had no plans to go to Bethlehem. They had this census. It just happened to happen. In fact, it was one of the first censuses, if not the first, and they had to go back to their homeland for, you know, first for them anyway. And how would anyone have ever known that that was going to be the year of the census, that was going to be when they were pregnant? And yet 700 years earlier, it was prophesied that they wouldn't be in Nazareth where they were, but that they would have to go back to Bethlehem so that they could have this baby. And right around the same time, 700 years before the gift was to arrive, the prophet Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 7:14 what we now find written on our Christmas cards. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. How did he know that? How did he know that? He didn't know that. God knew that. God spoke it through him. He was a voice. He was a prophet. He spoke for God. Part of God's preparation was actually written down in the Old Testament. That and many other scriptures. There were all kinds of prophecies and different circumstances that were surrounding the giving of this indescribable gift from God that show us how much thought and preparation went into it. God would present the perfect gift at the perfect time and in the perfect way. Let's take a moment. I want to look at the gift itself, because 2 Corinthians calls this gift indescribable. Why is it indescribable? Because there's no one word, there's no set of words, there's no book, there's no story, there's no radio show, there's no nothing that could give a proper description that could ever come close to totally describing the glory, the majesty, the amazing gift that is in Jesus Christ. This gift of Jesus is incomparable. What could possibly compare to Jesus? What if God had given us a city made of gold? Storerooms full of gold bars. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Maybe give us a bunch of worlds. Angels at our beck and call. But you know what? None of that would compare to having the gift of Jesus. This gift is invaluable. Why? Because Jesus is God. Because of His greatness, His power, His glory, His majesty, He's priceless. And I don't think He had an American Express card. I don't think that was it. He made everything. He owns it all. It's all His. The world and everything in it belong to Him. And He holds everything together by the power of His Word. So He is invaluable. There's nothing that compares to Him. He was also invaluable because He was fully God and fully man. He's the only one. He can truly understand everything. Everything that we're going through. He's acquainted with sorrow and grief. He's acquainted with pain and insults and suffering and death. Love and joy and peace. He experienced everything that we've experienced. He understands you. He knows what you're going through. And He's promised to be with you until the end. The gift is invaluable because of the love that was behind it. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. That's love that was behind that gift. Ephesians 3:18, Paul is praying that we may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know His love that surpasses knowledge. Not only was the love there that was bringing the gift to us, that was behind that gift coming to us, but the gift itself loves us. How many gifts are you getting for Christmas that love you? Only that gift. Don't you appreciate a gift more when you know that it was given out of love? This gift is invaluable because of the great cost. All the suffering that Jesus went through, the pain, the humiliation, the torture, the cross, the burden of carrying the load of all the sin of all the world of all time, all that sin, that's a heavy, heavy load. Separation from His Father. All of that That was the cost of that gift for us. This gift is invaluable because of what it accomplished. Millions upon millions upon millions of people who have been rescued from darkness and death. Rescued from an eternity without hope and without God. That's what the Word says. This gift is all-encompassing. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, along with that gift, graciously give us all things?" If God has already given us the most precious gift, the most precious thing that He had, that He actually literally had to give up His Son, isn't He more than willing to give us everything and anything that we need? Of course He is. This perfect gift is all sufficient. He takes care of our every need. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us." God can meet our every need, and He knows our needs before we even ask. He could do more than we will ever need, more than we could ever ask for or imagine. He saves us from the contamination of sin. When He forgives our sins, He washes us clean. He makes us righteous and holy before Him. That's amazing. It's almost impossible to fathom for us to think that we could be righteous or holy. But because of the work that Jesus did, because of that gift, that's exactly what we become. One of the righteous and the holy. He rescues us from the power of that sin that held us in bondage. That gift will rescue us from the bondage of sin. That gift will save us from the fear of impending doom, of judgment, of worry, and of what might happen at the end. We don't have to fear that. That gift saves us from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death. Through Him, through that gift, we become heirs of the kingdom. We actually literally become sons and daughters of the living God because of that gift. Because of that gift, Jesus said, "I will send a gift." The gift gives us a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power, it empowers us to be able to live our life as a Christian so that we could actually answer as Mary did, "According to Your will. May it be unto me as You have said." Just like how Jesus answered, "Nevertheless, not my will but Yours." It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do those things that we know are right when everything in us, our flesh, wants to do something else. What is it that makes us do what is good and right? It's the Holy Spirit. It's not us. It's not this flesh. This flesh wants to do everything the opposite, everything for itself. But the Holy Spirit within us is always working inside of us. The gift that came from the gift to empower us, to make it so that we are able to live for Him. And finally, this gift of Jesus is eternal. He is always there for us. Hebrews 13:5, God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Jesus said, "I will be with you always until even the end of the age." What's the usual lifetime of the gifts that we buy? Some of them last all of a day. You've seen the gifts you buy for your kids, and by the end of the day, they're already laying on the floor broken. Where's the pieces that go to this? I don't know. Who broke this?
It wasn't me. It was him.
I didn't even know where they are. By the end of the day, maybe they last a week, maybe a year if we're lucky. And if it's a really good gift, if it's really top quality, maybe it'll last us a couple years, maybe a few years. If you buy somebody a house for a gift, maybe it'll last for 30 or 40 years. But the fact is, every gift that we ever have gotten or will ever get will fade away. It'll rot or rust, be lost, be broken, be taken away, or will be gone. But not this gift. Not this gift. We're not going to lose this gift. It's not going to be taken away. It's not going to fade away. It's not going to fall away. It's not going to be broken. This gift is eternal. The gift of salvation. The gift of Jesus who gives us salvation. What a wonderful gift our Father has given us. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. It's like no other gift that you could ever receive. There's nothing that compares to this. With this gift, also included, if you get it now, with this gift comes eternal joy. With this gift comes peace and love. With this gift comes eternal life, a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And even now, Jesus said He's preparing, once again, there's that preparation, He's preparing a place for you to go there, to enjoy the fruit of this gift. Because this gift bears fruit. Even though it's not a fruit tree, this gift bears fruit. And you know what the fruit is? You. You. You're the fruit. When Jesus went to the cross, it said that He was able to endure the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before Him. You are that joy. The joy that was set before Him. You are the fruit of this gift. Because of the gift, because of what Jesus did when He went to the cross, you are able to go to heaven. And best of all, this gift is made available to every single person. This gift is available to all who come to Jesus, to all who believe in Him, who open up their heart and receive Him as Lord. To all who will do that, this gift is yours. The gift of Jesus Christ. The perfect, the one and only perfect gift. Jesus. Let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank You, Lord God. We thank You so much for the gift that You've given us. We thank You because it is a perfect gift. Lord, we're not going to return it. We're not going to toss it in the corner. It's not going to be broken. It's not going to fade away. We thank You that You've given us a perfect gift that is eternal, that we can hold on to, that we can have as a foundation for our life. We thank You for this gift that will bear such good fruit. Us. Thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You, God. Lord, here it's Christmas, and we would love to give You a gift, God. After this gift we've given You, the only gift that we can give is obedience to You. To have that willing spirit, like Mary did, like Joseph did, like John the Baptist did and his parents. like Jesus did. Lord, help us to walk in obedience, to be that living sacrifice that we talked about earlier during communion, to be that willing sacrifice, living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to you, a people who walk in obedience. That's our gift to you, God. That's the only thing we can do, Lord. We have nothing to give you other than ourself and our love and our obedience. And we thank you out of that love, Lord God. We thank you for the gift of Jesus that you've given to us. And in his mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.